So let's take a couple minutes now in meditation. And I invite you to close your eyes if you like and put down anything that you might be holding just so you can give yourself permission to move into the moment. And if you're new to meditation, it's nothing more than getting quiet and turning inward and feeling the Spirit of God deep within you. So let's breathe. Breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in. And as we breathe that breath in, let's just feel the energy of it. Let's let it soothe us. Let's let it quiet our minds and our hearts. We come here and we step into meditation for so many reasons. Sometimes our lives have been torn apart, and the act of meditation helps us mend things. It helps our heart and it helps our mind. And sometimes our lives are going really well, but we want to go deeper, deeper. But through it all, we are so blessed. And when we move into meditation and we commune with the Spirit of God that's deep within us, then what happens is we get to remember all the good things that have happened in our lives, the way we've accepted and dealt with the tough stuff. And through it all, we see different kinds of blessings We see different ways of being grateful for who we are and where we are. And through it all, we remember, of course, we are on this unfolding spiritual journey. And when we keep our eyes open, we get to see each event. And we get to fully recognize each person. We get to understand the way different challenges have helped us learn and grow. So let's take all that into the silence for a moment, and let's just be with those great feelings of the Spirit of God deep within us, and let it soothe us. Let it bring our rhythm down a notch, just gently. Let's just be there with God in the silence. Spirit of God, you touch my life. And I am grateful in ways that I hardly understand. But I know you're there. And I know you're with me. And I know that somehow you help me feel and see and experience more clearly. And so it is, God. So it is. Namaste. Thank you. And Julie, I'm not a musician, so I don't even know what I'm saying. But is that four-part harmony? Is that?
Yes.
Yay, I got it right. I just thought it was so beautiful. Thank you, and thank you. Just so great. Good morning. Two different people came up during that meet and greet period and said, "What's this about a minister search?" And I said, "I know." No, I announced back, I think about 6 months ago, that I wanted to retire at the end of the year. And I think it's very exciting to, I mean, think about how everybody's sort of poised at this particular point in time and this place in time. And you know, somebody else with a different kind of spiritual consciousness comes on board. And I mean, I just see fantastic things. But, and the reason I do is because I just think the people here are amazing. The music's great. We have so many different kinds of volunteers who keep things going. And so somebody else is going to step into that and just bring great things. So I just wanted to say that. Today, well, I guess sort of along the same theme, I'm going to talk about how to manifest more abundance. And that's been the theme for October. And I just want to make sure that I'm real clear, and that is there's lots of forms of abundance. There's lots of forms of prosperity. And do we mostly think about finances when we say prosperity or abundance? Yeah, mostly. But it could be prosperity of health. It can be prosperity of relationships. It can be prosperity of your career. I mean, prosperity of your spirituality, where more and more and more things just keep coming in. And I thought to address that, I thought it might be interesting to take a couple lessons from the game of chess. Anybody here play chess? Oh, quite a few. Cool. Good. Well, you know, within the game of chess, there's strategy and there's tactics, okay? And so strategy are some overriding principles that you wanna keep in mind as you play the game. And tactics are the individual moves that you make. So, for example, in chess, the overriding principles, the strategy is control the center four squares. Develop both sides of the board pretty much equally. Move your knights and your bishops before you move your rooks and your queen. Be careful with the moves that your pawns make because they can't go backwards. Yeah, with pawns, you don't get to go, oops. But tactics in chess are, okay, right now we love all those principles, blah, 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 but right now my opponent just put my king in check. What move are you going to make? So chess is a combination of strategy and tactics. I think that's kind of like prosperity and abundance, too. There are some overriding principles, but then there's those few things. What are you going to do right now? So the overriding principles for abundance and prosperity, the biggest one is there is a law of giving and receiving. You give what you have and you get back what you've given. I mean, and it is this channel that keeps going. And we can't clog it up. Okay? If you stop giving, or for some of us, if you stop receiving, you clog up the channel. Because the Spirit of God wants us to be healthy and prosperous and filled with goodness and having good things come your way. I mean, could you imagine a God who said, I don't really want to mess that guy up. I mean, it's not feasible, is it? If we, whatever your conception of God is, whether you think it's the superhuman being up in the sky or whether you think it's a principle or whether you think it's love, I mean, however you define God, it's pretty hard to think of a bad form So it's that law of giving and receiving. The second strategy is know that you're worthy. You are worthy of good things coming your way. That's the way it got set up. The third thing is know that God is in your corner. I mean, the Spirit of God wants it to work out for you. And then the fourth one is and these are kind of different ways of saying the same thing, which is know that we're here to be prosperous. And it could be money, might be friendship, might be family, might be health. It's how you define it for you, what's important to you. So those are some of the overriding principles, but they don't tell us very much about what we're supposed to actually do in a given situation. So that's the tactics. And the tactics, I would say, number one, we have to get better at learning how to ask. And I'm going to talk about asking and seeking and knocking in a few minutes, but we can say, how am I supposed to ask? Is there a right way to ask for prosperous health? Is there a right way to ask for the prosperity of family? Is there a right way to ask for prosperity of money? Is there a right way to ask? And the answer is yes, there is. And we'll talk about that in a second. Secondly, we have to learn how to receive. I think a lot of us have asked. I mean, that's what we do, right? We go to bed, we say a little prayer, saying, "Dear God, let me receive the lottery." But we think about the things that we can possibly receive, and you know that's a real specific tactic that I'll talk more about in a second. We have to learn to see. I think what we think we want, it's just serious right in the face. But we simply forget. So we'll look at that one in a sec. And then we have to learn how to be grateful. And here's the tough part. We have to learn to be grateful even before it's shown up. Kind of like, oh, no, I didn't want to do that woo-woo stuff. Yeah, it's okay. If we follow that strategy that the Spirit of God is here to take care of us, to make our lives work, then it makes sense to be grateful even before we've seen it. And then here's the last one. And there's only about 5 million books out there and another 25 million articles. All you have to do is Google prosperity, finances. You'll get so many things coming your way. And so here's the last tactic. Develop a daily routine. And that's just so powerful when we develop a daily routine about how we interact with ourselves, how we interact with our family, our spouse, our kids, how we interact with the Spirit of God. Develop a daily routine. Okay, so let's jump into these a little bit more. And I thought to do that, I thought we'd take a look at the book of Matthew, where in the Bible, where Jesus does one of the most famous things that he's ever done, the Sermon on the Mount. And even if we don't know what that is exactly, we've heard the name before. Well, you know, so what happened there? Well, he did a number of things in the Sermon on the Mount. It took place on the northwestern shore of the Lake of Galilee on a hill that was called Mount Beatitudes. That's why it's called the Beatitudes when you get to that little section, you know, blessed are the poor, blessed are the weak, you know, all those different things. That's why it's called Beatitudes. It's not because it was a beatitude. No. It took place on this particular hill. And he talks about, just a number of things that are very famous, but about halfway through, he switches to prosperity. About halfway through, he talks about asking and seeking and knocking. And what he says is, whatever it is you think you might want, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. How many have heard that before sometime? Yeah, everybody, right? Well, and in that, what do you say? Whatever it is you think you want, ask. And he would say, ask in prayer. In other words, create this relationship with the Spirit of God. Ask in that way, in a holy communion with whatever you believe the Spirit of God is. And he says, if you ask that way, it'll be given. And then he said, but once you've asked, then he says, seek and you will find. So I've asked, I think this is what I want. Now I have to look for it. I have to seek it. And that's the promise. If you seek, you'll find. And then when you think you found it, he comes up with the last one. Knock. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. And it's kind of like, is it that simple? No, it's not simple at all. And the reason it's not so simple is because when we ask for what we think we want, I think 9 times out of 10, that's not what we really want. I think we just get all mixed up on what it is that we think we want. And then we say, and often, that's the only phrase we heard is ask. And we don't really hear about the part that says seek and you'll find. So in other words, you got to get out and start looking. And then the last one, and then when you think you found it, to knock and the door will be opened unto you. Powerful stuff. But before I even get into that, I want to let you know that Jesus spoke, and he didn't write anything down, but the people around him did. They spoke, and they wrote in Aramaic, which I used to think was just another dialect of Hebrew. Turns out, no, it's not. It was separate. Almost like if somebody said Portuguese and Spanish, it's the same language. It's kind of like, no, it's really not. Same thing here with Aramaic. And the reason I bring that up is because there's not much written down that's written in Aramaic. And so it's been hard for linguists to do research on Aramaic, on that language. But it seems like they can agree on one thing, that ask and it will be given, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. What they've said is that's not quite right, because they've discovered a little bit more about gerunds and participles and how they were used. Didn't know this would be an English class. And so now it looks like linguists have pretty much agreed that a better translation is keep on asking and it will be given. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened unto you. That's a really interesting switch. Because I don't know about you, but over the years, I've heard people ask and debate and say, well, if I pray, am I only supposed to pray once? Because if I pray about the same thing a bunch of times, am I showing doubt in God? Am I just supposed to say it once? Am I just supposed to look for it once? And the answer on this new translation is no. It says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking on that door. You know, that's okay. But when we do, when we think we know what we want, I want this amount of money, or I want this kind of relationship, or I want this kind of church. What this says is there's something that often gets in our way, and that's our expectations. We get expectations, and they get in the way. And they color what we think we're seeing or what we think we're asking for or what we think our goals are. So when it gets to expectations, we have to understand that our expectations can become real stifling blinders. They can really block us from seeing what's really there. And I thought of an example in this one. Let's say what you want to seek is prosperity of a romantic relationship. And so you use, you know, God, please, I want a romantic relationship in my life. And then you go, but he's got to be tall. I don't care so much how much money he's making, but I don't want him renting. I mean, at least let him be buying his house. God, if I'd like him to have the same political beliefs that I have, okay? Please don't let him be a slob. You know, I mean, I want to be able to show him off to friends, and so I don't want him eating like a pig. And it gets in the way, doesn't it? I mean, there is nothing wrong. There's absolutely nothing wrong with asking for exactly what you want. But the more limitations we put on it, the more channels we throw out. I mean, it could be the perfect soulmate that's come your way, but you thought, he just wasn't quite tall enough. What this says is, it's okay to ask for exactly what you want, but every expectation you put on there, it starts getting the channels narrower and narrower and narrower, doesn't it? Yeah. And what this says is we just need to teach ourselves to be more and more open. And it's a little bit like our expectation around the Spirit of God, because I think if you think of God as sort of the perfect parent, it's so easy for us to think, well, I have messed up so many times. Certainly, the Spirit of God is not going to give me this. Or, you know, if God only knew how many times I've messed up, well, whatever you believe in about the nature of God, believe me, he or she or it knows. Yeah. There's some words that go on further after asking and seeking and knocking that Jesus says. He says, you know, if one of your children were starving and asked for a piece of bread, would you give that child a rock instead? And Jesus says, of course not. And then Jesus goes on to say, if even a bad person would treat their own kids okay, how much better is God? Because the Spirit of God would be the perfect parent. So what that says is, the Spirit of God's in your corner. And so we just have to work on accepting that and believing in it and make it a part of the daily routine. And I just love Post-it notes. And my wife is sticking Post-it notes all over the bathroom mirror. And a couple days ago, it made me laugh right out loud because I wasn't expecting it. And then at the end of this section on the Sermon on the Mount, that's when Jesus comes out with, I don't know, maybe his most famous thing, the Golden Rule. And so he says, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so what that says is, in terms of abundance and prosperity, create the right situation in terms of relationships. Treat other people the way you'd like to be treated. And by the way, that shows up in Hinduism and Buddhism and Islam, shows up in Zoroastrianism. Taoism, it's there in every single religion you can think of. They say, do, in one form or another, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat people the way you'd like to be treated. I mean, when you do that, prosperity of many types are going to come your way. But then you have this last one, and in the for the class I've been doing on Wednesday nights, I entitled the next page, "But what if I'm feeling snotty?" in other words, what if I'm not feeling it? I mean, you're telling me giving love and giving generosity and love the other person. Well, what if I don't feel that way? You know, should I not give until I feel that way? And the answer is, nah, you're going to wait forever. In other words, fake it till you make it. You give. You just give and you give. And if you're not feeling it, here's what the social science research says, is more often, it's not that you have a particular attitude and then you perform an action. Social science research says, no, mostly you do the action and then your attitude comes along later. And so what that says is, oh, give, help, love, coach, teach. Wrap other people up in love of various kinds, because you get what you give. You get what you give. So I'm going to finish just by saying, in your life right now, as you try and search through what you think you'd like to have happen, number one, be really open to yourself and to God. Because what you think you want right now, if you get more into spirituality, if you get more into faith, guess what? Things are going to change. What you knew you wanted, it's kind of like, no, not really. Now that I'm doing it, I kind of really want this. Love other people and keep your mind open. Keep your heart open. Keep your faith open. Because when you do that, the world is just going to open up its doors to you. You're going to be so much more prosperous in all sorts of ways when what you do is give and stay open. Give and stay open. Love and stay open. Love and stay open. Yeah. Give and love and just treat other people with such kindness. And that's going to come back to you a hundredfold. And so it is. Namaste.
Earth.